As president of J.Crew, Jenna Lyons became known as the woman who dresses America. Now, she's launching a new business aimed at helping people find their own style. Get ready for a masterclass in fashion, beauty, and interior design in every episode of Stylish with Jenna Lyons. Streaming now on HBO Max.
There's not a lot of things that would pull my collaborator, Nate Sloan, out of paternity leave for an emergency recording. However, Nate, something important has happened.
Charlie, I'm here.
Just 5 months ago, Taylor Swift shined the Swift signal at the moon and announced that she dropped a new album in quarantine, makes this record Folklore.
In my defense, I have none. Never leaving well enough alone, but it would have been fun if you would have been the one.
Surprise, she's done it again. She's created a sister album.
Your mom's ring in your pocket, my picture in your wallet, your heart was glass, I dropped it, champagne problems.
And I kid you not, I think this is the most requested piece that our listeners have asked for. So here we are.
Few things could draw me from the bliss of being a newborn parent, but Taylor Swift dropping an album supersedes everything. So I'm here. I'm ready to listen and overanalyze. Let's do this.
Witch John.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
All right, Evermore, our task. Is it Evermore or an afterthought? That's what we're going to try to look at. Because here's the thing. Is like someone puts out an album, you kind of expect the next album to be an evolution of that material. And yet Taylor has done something fairly original. Just continued the writing process, continued that sort of same project, same collaborators, primarily with Aaron Dessner of The National.
Right.
Her partner, Joseph Alwyn, under the pseudonym William Bowery, Justin Vernon of Bon Iver and Jack Antonoff, and a handful of other collaborators have come together. According to them, they just couldn't stop writing songs, right? And so we need to take a listen to them and figure out, yeah, how does this project stack up? Be honest with me. What was your impression when you first listened to the album? Were you like listening in the background with the kid going on?
Yeah, I don't know if I was. It had my undivided attention, and it kind of felt like Folklore part two. It was lovely. It was wonderful, but it wasn't melting my brain like Folklore did back in July.
Similarly, I was listening in the background and had a initial first impression that's like, oh yeah, the sonic territory of this thing feels familiar. And I've seen a lot of writing where critics are saying, well, this is just more of the same. I think that as a sort of first reaction doesn't do this album justice, because when I took a deeper listen, I realized there's a whole lot more there.
The more that you say, the less I know. Wherever you stray, I follow. I'm begging for you to take my hand. Wreck my plans, that's my man. Life was a willow and it bent right.
And yes, some of the instrumentation, the sort of folkiness of the previous record is here as well. But this is really an album about songs. This is a project about songs. And frankly, I really like a bunch of songs here.
That's awesome. I'm ready to plumb the depths and turn this afterthought into the main focus.
If we take the 30,000-foot view of the music here, it's a really curious project because you have silly songs. Songs like Dorothea.
Hey, Dorothea, do you ever stop and think about me?
Which is basically like a makeup note to an old school friend that she's fallen out of touch with. And it's a little goofy. And we even get some of that playground game sort of rhymes that she does in songs like Me.
And I fell from the pedestal right down the rabbit hole. Long story short, it was a bad time.
We have allusions to Alice in Wonderland going down the rabbit hole. And we actually get some real nursery rhymes like she's done in Me. Shake It Off.
My ex-man brought his new girlfriend. She's like, oh my god, but I'm just gonna shake into the fella over there.
On the song Champagne Problems, we get one for the money, two for the show.
One for the money, two for the show. I never was ready, so I watch you go.
So there's a lot of sort of childhood nostalgia, some really sort of fun, silly work. There are songs that are often about characters that she's making up. Then we have very personal songs as well, some very serious songs. Songs like Coney Island.
Break my soul in two, looking for you, but you're right here. If I can't relate to you any more, then who am I related to?
It's melancholic and nostalgic. She's written this with The National, who are sort of known for that exact sound. I think when we listen closely, though, what we're going to find is that this is in many ways, yes, a continuation of folklore. But what Taylor does on this record is synthesizes her country early period.
Tennessee Taylor.
Her pop middle period.
New York Taylor.
And her introspective later period.
L.A. Taylor.
Yes, she takes all of her songwriting skills from all those places and phases of her career and combines them together in Evermore. We're going to hear Tennessee Taylor lyricism, a bunch of pop instrumentation, and all of it subdued in this very sort of folky production, because this is all about highlighting songs. And I think the first song that we should listen to is the opening track and single off the album, Willow.
The more that you say, the less I know. Wherever you stray, I follow. I'm begging for you to take my hand. Wreck my plans, that's my man.
I mean, I'm picking up on what you were saying earlier. It's like, this feels like a record about songs, about songwriting.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I feel like whenever Taylor Swift releases a new album, everyone rushes to try and kind of decode
right.
the meaning, the Easter eggs.
Totally.
What is this? Who is this about? What is she trying to say? What's the secret meaning of this line, of this word? But it's like, this album is such a clear indication of the opposite, that this is like a testament to creation and to make-believe and to imagination and to the skill of songwriting. And like the first line of this second verse, life was a willow and it bent right to your wind, is like, whew.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, it's a beautiful image, beautiful and a compelling metaphor.
Right.
But then also the kind of scansion of it, the declamation, the way it starts with that life, that's kind of soft L, and then it, right in the middle you get that hard bend, and then the soft wind again. It's like very omnipoetic.
This is the Tennessee Taylor, right? This is like, that is that country metaphor. There's some more direct Tennessee Taylor things that we'll hear, but for me, this is, as you put it, this is about songwriting. And certainly there are Easter eggs. She's brilliant at placing puzzles in her music, and if that's what you want to do, cool, go find them, figure out what song's about who, see how it's all interrelated. But this is a piece where the music just immediately jumped out for me. As I was saying earlier, this is not any one genre. It really feels like her merging all of the things that she knows how to do. So we have the lyricism, but we also have some very clear pop sensibility to the song, right? Supporting this wonderful declamation that you pointed to, the way that she places her words in the meter, there are these very pop syncopated drums. And I think a lot of folks might think, hey, this is a folk record. But a folk record is usually going to have pretty straight rhythms. Her rhythms here are danceable, right?
Yeah.
This is almost a Caribbean beat.
Yeah.
And you can even catch some of that in the sort of a marimba-like quality and the instrumentation.
You know that my train could take you home. Anywhere else is hollow. I'm begging for you to take my hand. Make my plans. That's my man. Oh, that you say.
Yeah, we've got that prototypical reggaeton boom, chip boom, chick boom, chip boom, chick boom. Chip boom, chick.
Exactly. Part of what we get when we are listening to Evermore plus Folklore is, there's some folky elements, but really what this is, is it's about taking the elements of pop and then really kind of putting them in the background, right? The percussion here is very muted. It's not in your face.
I'm like the water when your ship rolled in that night.
It's definitely recessed. Willow's not the only song borrowing from pop. We can hear pop electronics in the song Marjorie.
And if I didn't know better, I'd think you were talking to me now.
We can hear skittering hi-hats and Tolerate It.
Wait by the door like I'm just a kid. Use my best colors for your portrait.
All throughout the album, there are, again, in the background, kind of behind everything else, behind her voice, because her voice and her lyrics ought to be center. That's what this album is about. We still have the skeleton of a pop song. And then she takes all of this pop production and she pairs it with these more folksy elements. She's kind of riding this indie wave that's happening. And one of the instruments really gives this away for me. When we listen to the beginning of Willow, we get these really lovely sort of muted guitars. This is a increasingly popular sound in the world of sort of indie folk poppy stuff, right? We hear very similar sounds on Phoebe Bridgers' album Punisher. Her producer Ethan Griska is known for using these guitars that have these muted rubber bridges that make them almost sound like almost like a banjo like quality. People like Blake Mills use it as well. Our friend Jenny Owen Youngs plays with these as well. Jeff Tweedy from Wilco.
Chuck, can you elucidate a little more the differences in these guitar tones that you're talking about?
You know, a typical guitar is going to sound like this. It's going to ring open and bright. And then when you do this sort of rubber bridge method, you can hear it's muted. And as I was saying, like, it has this like banjo quality. It's very plucky. And it's good for adding a great percussive element, which we're getting in Willow. Even though it's acoustic guitar, it's acting not unlike even, you know, EDM plucks.
Whoa.
You could even associate it in the same world of something like Shape of You by Ed Sheeran. It's got that same plucky quality, but moving from EDM into indie folk. So with Willow, we've got beautiful lyricism. We've got that pop production hiding behind the vocal, and we have these indie folk sounds. And that's what we're going to get through a lot of the rest of this album. And to take us into our next song, I actually want to have Taylor cue us up with one of my favorite lines from Willow.
They count me out time and time again. Life was a willow.
Taylor's not above putting a meme in even a very serious song.
Do we hear any 90s trends on this record?
Yes, I think we do. This brings us to one of the most fun songs on the record, Nobody, No Crime, or Nobody, No Crime.
I think it's the latter.
I think he did it, but I just can't prove it. No, nobody, no crime, but I ain't letting up until the day I die.
You asked, are there any 90s trends here? And doesn't that just feel familiar?
Sounds like a Dixie Chicks song or something.
Ah, yes, now known as Just the Chicks.
Or Oasis, maybe.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it has a lot of 90s elements. I mean, it even has some early Taylor. I can hear some like Tim McGraw or Teardrops on my guitar kind of acoustic qualities, maybe even a Paula Cole, I Don't Want to Wait kind of thing. But if there's any one song, trust me, you're going to put them in. They work.
No, I don't. I'm not giving you that, but yeah, please continue.
All right. If that doesn't work, what about this one?
Oh, it's like an acoustic version of Tom Petty.
Yeah, Mary Jane's Last Dance. Song dropped in 1993, very popular throughout the 90s, and it has a similar drum groove. It has a very similar sort of guitar sound, except for from electric to acoustic, as you pointed out.
Yeah, yeah.
Estee's a friend of mine. We meet up every Tuesday night for dinner and a glass of wine. Estee's been losing sleep. Her husband's acting different.
So this is a song with the wonderful women of the group Haim, the three Haim sisters. And this song is sort of in that same format of one of her great songs from the last album, The Last Great American Dynasty. Mm-hmm. This is a song where, based around some truths, there's sort of this imagined world that Taylor creates. And in this one, it's a murder ballad about Estee Haim.
Estee wasn't there. Tuesday night at Olive Garden, at her job or anywhere. He reports his missing wife. And I noticed when I passed his house, his truck has got some brand new tires. And his mistress moved in.
Yeah, this one is so much fun. And it's like a testament to that theme we were talking about earlier, right? Like, I defy you to argue that there's any Easter eggs in this song about one of the Haim sisters actually committing murder. This is made up. This is invention.
Totally.
And it's brilliant and it's fun and it's clever. And the joy of it is not trying to understand how this might translate to events in her real life. It's to kind of marvel at the wit and the danger and the kind of macabre fun of it.
Yeah, you're totally right. This is also fun because it's in the country murder ballad style. This could be a Johnny Cash kind of song. So again, we got some early roots kind of thing. We got some 90s stuff going on. But there's one thing you're wrong about. This is a place where I actually think there are some fun Easter eggs, because you got it wrong a little bit. By the time we come back to the end of the song, it turns out, no, Estee didn't murder anybody.
Oh, right. She's the victim. She's the victim. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Exactly. And so this is kind of like in the style of Blank Space, where Taylor really plays up the media narrative of her being like conniving or backstabbing, mm-hmm. right? And so she's kind of like playing with that concept, because of course she does end up being, I guess, the literal backstabber in this song.
She thinks I did it, but she just can't prove it. No, nobody, no crime. I wasn't letting up until the day he. No, nobody, no crime. I wasn't letting up until the day.
This is a double murder.
But backstabber is not the right word, because it's a righteous kill.
No, of course. I actually was trying to flip the metaphor. It's not actually about her stabbing someone. It was about her stabbing someone in the back, literally, not figuratively. Yeah, totally.
So there's also this features one of my favorite kind of rhetorical musical devices in Taylor Swift's songs.
What's that?
Which is where the chorus changes from beginning to end.
Exactly.
Right. In the beginning, the chorus is, I think he did it, but I just can't prove it.
I think he did it, but I just can't prove it.
And by the end, it's, they think she did it, but they just can't prove it.
They think she did it, but they just can't prove it. They think she did it.
That is so satisfying when she does that. It really gives you this sense of the song having like an arc and a progression, and it's such a great payoff when she tweaks the chorus like that to reflect how the song has developed and revealed itself to you. Mwah.
Good thing my daddy made me get a boating license when I was 15, and I've cleaned enough houses to know how to cover up a scene. Good thing Estee's sister's gonna swear she was with me.
She was with me, dude.
Good thing his mistress took out a big life insurance policy.
That's a beautiful thing. Even that subtle, she thinks I did it, but she just can't prove it.
She thinks I did it, but she just can't prove it.
But of course, she can't prove it because she had an alibi. The Haim sister was like, nope, she was with me. It's a really fun track. And this is what's This is what's so wild about this album is at times it's very serious. Just like on Folklore, there are these really fun, playful songs that are often the sort of Tennessee Taylor throwback country illusions. One that might sort of blend between the serious and the playful would be a song like "Tis the Damn Season." And in many ways, for me, this is the most country of all the songs on the album. Even if it doesn't have that twang, it's got the lyric. For the weekend, 'tis the damn season right this time. I'm staying at my parents' house, and the road not taking looks real good now. And it always leads to you and my hometown. We've got all the essential elements. We've got messy mud on the truck tires, and we have a nice little tag of, and it always leads you to my hometown, on an unresolved chord, which is kind of nice. Mm. This also has just that fundamental country kind of phrasing, where she takes a rhyme and then will play with the phrasing, extend it out. Something like, we could call it even, you could call me babe for the weekend. So we have a short line, we could call it even, and then a long line, you could call me babe for the weekend, 'tis the damn season. So we get these rhymes occurring at different points in the bar, and it just has that real country sort of feel. No twang, yeah, but it has the cadence, it has the lyrical tropes, and we see that she's obviously pulling from the things that she's great from the very beginning of her career.
There's actually a term for that in country music from the country scholars, Jimmy N. Rogers and Miller Williams. It's called the hinged figure.
All right, hold on there, cowboy. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, you can tell me about this so-called hinged figure. Okay, I know I've stopped our show in the past to tell you about Amazon Music. It has all the artists, has all the songs, has all the podcasts, and somehow it just got even better. If you sign up now, you'll get 3 months of Amazon Music Unlimited for free. That means 3 free months of playing truly any song you'd like, whenever you want to hear it, without a single ad, like the thing that's happening now, where I'm telling you about Amazon Music. That will never happen while you're listening to the 70 million songs that they have over there. It'll just be you and whatever songs you choose to help ride out the rest of 2020. I've been using Amazon Music Unlimited for a while now, and it's basically been this battle in my family between these two holiday albums. Our absolute favorites are Charlie Brown's Christmas and a brand new one that will actually be an episode next week. It's A Very Chilly Christmas by Chilly Gonzalez, and I think you're going to enjoy Amazon Music as much as we do. Take advantage of this incredible offer today. For a limited time, you can get 3 months of Amazon Music Unlimited for free. Go to amazon.com/onpop. That's amazon.com/onpop to get your first 3 months of Amazon Music for free. Starts at $7.99 a month after. New subscribers only. Terms apply. Offer expires January 11th, 2021. If you're looking for a perfect gift for you or your music-loving friends, well, we wrote a book for you, and it's called Switched on Pop: How Popular Music Works and Why It Matters. There's 18 essays on the essential musical ideas everyone should know through case studies of the biggest songs of the last 20 years. We're talking Beyoncé, Carly, Kendrick, Taylor, Rihanna, and Andre 3000. You can find the Switched on Pop book at your favorite local bookseller or switchedonpop.com/book. Okay, Nate, so what is this hinged figure in country music that you speak of?
It's when you kind of have like a double lyrical figure that goes in two different directions. For instance, like the country artist Bobby Bear has a line, by day I make the cars, by night I make the bars.
But by day I make the cars, by night I make the bars.
Conway Twitty has, since she's not with the one she loves, she loves the one she's with.
Yeah.
Now since she's not with the one she loves, she loves the one she's with.
So how does this work in Tis the Damn Season? The line is, we could call it even, you could call me babe for the weekend, tis the damn season.
We could call it even, you could call me babe for the weekend, tis the damn season right this time.
Because she's transforming the meaning of call from the first line to the second line.
Oh,
like call it even is like this, like a one turn of phrase, and then she kind of transforms the meaning in the second phrase to call me babe for the weekend.
God.
So like
it,
right. sets you up for you're expecting to hear kind of one thing, but then it takes you in a different direction. That's a very country turn of phrase. That's the hinged figure.
Oh, ooh, okay, neat. This is so much fun. You know, we've probably explored Taylor's work more than anybody else's on our show, and yet I learn new things every time. The hinged figure.
Here's one from Ronnie Millsap. She didn't come here for the money. She came here for the change.
Ooh. Where are you getting these?
It's all in this article by Jimmy N. Rogers and Miller Williams called Figure It Out, The Linguistic Turn in Country Music.
Okay, cool. We'll post a note about that in our, yeah. in our show notes. Okay, so we've talked a lot about how she's using the skills of her early period. We've talked about the pop production from the middle period. We'll talk about, I think, some of the creativity that has come in what you call maybe her LA period. In this place where I think she's really taken on a mastery of songwriting and song form and is pushing the boundaries of how a song can be structured to surprise us in new ways and to express herself in new ways.
Mm.
And there's two songs that come to mind here. The first is Gold Rush.
I don't like a gold rush, gold rush. I don't like anticipating my face in a red flush. I don't like that anyone would die to feel your touch. Everybody wants you. Everybody wonders what it would be like to...
So this is funny, Nate. What section are we hearing here?
Is it the chorus? Is it the verse? I don't know. We'd have to listen to the rest of the song, I think.
Okay, so here's the next section. What happens next? Alright, so what's that?
A bridge? Or a chorus?
I mean, they're both really hooky. I think they're just both hooks, right? There's obviously an intro, but then...
Right.
The first part that kind of was like a chorus repeats.
I don't like a gold rush, gold rush. I don't like anticipating my face in a red flush. I don't like...
And then the next part, which is like a different chorus, repeats with a subtle variation.
My mind turns your life into folklore. I can't dare to dream about you.
A nice one in which she actually drops the name of her record. Wink, wink, wink. Very nice. Folklore. This song has got a funny structure. It basically is like two different sections that are repeated with a slight variation. And yet the whole time, I just feel like I'm listening to a chorus. The song's over 3 minutes long. I never get bored. I don't know. It doesn't structure itself like a normal pop song, and yet it's entirely catchy. And I think that is a testament to just like everything in it is great. The melodies are good. It's got this propulsive beat. It has wonderful lyricism. Even the central metaphor, I think, is particularly strong. I don't like a gold rush. I don't like anticipating my face in a red flush.
Mm.
I don't like that anyone would die to feel your touch.
I don't like a gold rush, gold rush. I don't like anticipating my face in a red flush. I don't like that anyone would die to feel your touch. Everybody.
Yeah, I think she's kind of showing off on this one a little bit, because in that first section, whether we call it a chorus or a verse or a bridge or whatever, it's like she's really trying to use every... It's like she's breaking out the rhyming dictionary, right? Rush, flush, touch, brush, blush, crush. That's
yeah, it's good.
That's an impressive array of ush rhymes.
They're not multisyllabic, but they're great because each metaphor is really strong. I don't like anticipation, my face in a red flush, the shame. You actually feel that rhyme.
Mm. And then in the next section, she does this other kind of lyrical trick where you have internal rhymes, right?
Mm.
And the coastal town we wandered round had never seen a love as pure as it.
At dinner parties, I call you out on your contrarian wit. And the coastal town we wandered round had never seen a love as pure as it. And then it fades into the gray of my day.
So it's like there's that inner rhyme between town and round.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next line does the same thing, and then it fades into the gray of my day-old tea. So it's like AIDS gray day.
Oh.
I mean, the rhyme in each of those is not those internal rhymes. It's the end rhyme. In that case, it's tea. But within the structure of the line, there's these internal rhymes that match each other.
Is she showing off here?
But yeah, this is a beautiful song. I love that moment in the very beginning where it starts with this ethereal choir-like opening. And then just kind of like, and then all of a sudden it's like there's a door slam shut and we're like in this other musical world. It's a very cool moment.
Yeah.
Courtesy of the producer, Jack Antonoff.
I recognize this one as a Jack Antonoff production for a couple of reasons, and to maybe use some mixed metaphors, yours and hers, the door slamming shut and maybe even this gold rush metaphor. There are some sudden and unexpected changes, and this is where I really picked up on some of his participation perhaps in this production.
Oh, right. You're right. The better metaphor is jumping into underwater, and it's like there's, yeah, okay, forget the door.
Yeah.
Scratch the door. Go ahead.
You can hear what I talk about when it switches from the something chorus into the next chorus. Everybody wants you, but I don't like a gold rush. Let me still be alive to grow up that beautiful. Right when she says, I don't like a gold rush, we get this very strange downward modal modulation moving from the key of A major into the key of a mixolydian. This might feel like it's wonky and unnecessary to talk about, but I think it's relevant because I do believe that perhaps part of what really drew me to this song was another song.
What song is that?
Did it frighten you how we kissed when we danced on the light of floor? On the light of floor. But I hear sounds in my mind.
So it turns out Lorde's Green Light, also produced by Jack Antonoff, does the exact same move. Song is in the key of A major, and it makes this shift down into a mixolydian, this dark, funky chromaticism with actually the exact same chords.
On the light of floor, but I hear sounds in my mind. I'm like a gold rush.
Very similar rhythm and a very sort of strong connection between these two. Not the same song. We can all re-borrow chord progressions. Very common. You talked about it not so long ago in Queen, borrowing from themselves as well. But this was curious to me. I was like, it caught my ear. It was like one of those things where it was like in the background scratching my head and I couldn't figure it out for the last day or so. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, this is that other song is kind of present here.
What's that modulation again?
So they both do this sort of funny thing where, you're nicely in this like key of A major and it shifts to, in the end of the section, it moves to a big E. You think it's going to go back to A, but instead it goes E to G, which has this sort of chromatic note that you don't expect.
The subtonic.
Yes. And they both go through that same chord progression, G, D, A.
And at that exact moment, the vocals shoot up in both songs. It's giving that contrary motion you were talking about. Chords go down, vocals go up. Very satisfying.
Yep. You could kind of mash them up back to back.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't think there's any problem borrowing from yourself.
Yeah.
In the, cool. that there is a shared producer here. That's totally fine. This is Taylor's own song. And this is, again, what stands out for me here is this very sort of strange structure. And I like that this metaphor of sudden change is realized in the song. There's unpredictability in this song. And so it's one which where the lyric and the production, I think, really match very nicely. Which brings me to the other track that I wanted to chat about in terms of how Taylor is using her skill as a songwriter to do some creative and funky things and use this underlying production, your pianos and plucky guitars and sort of folky sounds, some electronic drums, pop production drums in the background, and do something new in each song. So each song sort of stands on its own. And the song I'm talking about is Closure. Start some of those drums, distorted, almost like through a cassette tape. And then the piano enters. This wonderful little riff. You can hear the keys clacking.
Yes, I got your letter. Yes, I'm doing better. It cut deep to know you right to the bone. Yes, I got your letter.
Whoa.
That's a cool one, right?
5/4 odd meter.
Yeah.
In this one. How unusual and how fun.
Yeah.
The music nerds are going to love this one.
Totally. There's something about whenever someone does a song that's not in beats of four, and when people use especially odd numbers like 5, 7, or 11, the music nerds come out and freak out. And it's true. It is a slight musical feat to write a good song in an odd meter.
Yeah. Let's break down how that works real quick.
Yeah. 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 So we've got a beat of 3 and then a beat of 2.
You count 1, 2, 3, 1, 2.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. One,
yes, I
two,
got
three,
your
one,
letter.
Two,
yes,
one,
I'm
two,
doing
three,
better.
One, two, one.
Yes, I got your letter. Yes, I'm doing better. It cut deep to know you're right to the bone.
It's cool.
It's cool. Yeah.
But it's not, for me, this is not just about like music nerdery showing off. The song just works on its own, because the first couple times I heard this, I didn't put my nerd brain on. It just worked. Like, it's got this good phrasing. Yes, I got your letter. Yes, I'm doing better. Kind of like falling onto itself, which is what that odd meter does to us. Like, there's this extra beat. We don't know quite where to dance to. And It's one of those moments where the song fits the meter, because this is a song where she's saying, I don't need closure. Like, I don't need your closure. She's just going to keep on moving, just as the meter, just as the drums keep on moving along in a slightly unpredictable way.
Whoa.
Isn't that nice?
Ow.
I don't need your closure.
Mama like. That's cool. That's great stuff. All right. Evermore. I think my opinion of this album is utterly changed. I'm really into this.
There's no afterthought here.
Especially Gold Rush and No Body, No Crime. Like,
Yeah.
Totally. Ah, yes. So, eat that up with a fork and spoon.
I totally see how this feels like a, you know, definitely a continuation, right? Similar timbres, same collaborators. You could shuffle these records and it all just nicely comes together. And yet, this is really about songs. There's a lot of lovely songs here. We should probably close out with the eponymous song, Evermore, features a lovely duet with Bon Iver. As I said, this album has winky, funny songs of made-up characters and some other more serious songs of personal nature, relationships, life challenges, and so on. And this is I think a really lovely one to end on, because it takes us on a journey from despair through to hope. The first time we hear her chorus, Taylor Swift is in despair.
And I was catching my breath, staring out an open window, catching my death. And I couldn't be sure, I had a feeling so peculiar, that this pain would be for evermore.
I don't mean to make light of the moment here, right? Like, this is a lovely little turn of phrase that this pain would be for evermore. Forevermore, forevermore, the album Evermore, so on.
Well, we've got another one of those hinged figures from country music again, right?
Is that right? Oh, I didn't even recognize this.
Catching My Breath, Catching My Death.
Ooh,
you know?
Yeah.
That's similar to this Loretta Lynn song where she sings, well, he's making love, I'm making believe. Anyway, please go on.
That's right. So she's all right, she's just weaving all that good stuff in there. But this is a dark, dark chorus, Catching My Death, worried that, you know, this pain is going to be forevermore. And then the song goes on a journey and we get a new collaborator.
Cannot think of all the cost and the things that will be lost. Or can we just get a pause to be certain we'll be tall again?
Justin Vernon of Bon Iver comes in and the whole song moves into an entirely new domain. The music shifts, the action increases, and we collide in an ocean of waves. It's the metaphor, but there's a collision of this duet between Taylor Swift and Justin Vernon.
It was real enough to get me through.
After going through this torrent, this storm, the music recedes back into that sort of calmer place where it was in that despairing first chorus. And yet, that thing that you love, Nate, is that it changes the next time around.
Mm.
And I couldn't be sure. I had a feeling so peculiar. This pain wouldn't be forevermore.
What a way to nail the ending.
Mm, yeah, it's beautiful. I have nothing to add. That's just, it's lovely.
Yeah, it's lovely. So, you know, this is an album I think everybody should go and explore. It's got 15 lovely songs. They are all kind of their own little world, whether serious, playful, whether they're in the nostalgic past of Tennessee Taylor or Pop Taylor or future master songwriter Taylor. There's a lot to check out here. Hour long of songs, or you get the deluxe version, you can get even more songs. But overall, Evermore, Folklore, yeah. Lovely little pairing.
I really just have one question remains for me.
What's that?
How many more times is she going to make us do this year? You know, I need my sleep. I can't be waking up at midnight, you know, every month to listen to the new Taylor Swift album. So just like, you know, chill, Taylor.
Next time she wants to do a secret release, she should give us a call. Come on the show. We'll do. We'll drop it on the show next time.
Yeah.
How about that?
Call us, babe, for the weekend.
This episode of Switched on Pop was produced by us at a time that didn't make any sense, but it got done. My friend Nate Sloan, me, Charlie Harding. We are mixed, edited, and engineered by Brandon McFarland. Illustration by Iris Gottlieb, and social media by Abby Barr. Our executive producers are Nishat Kerwa and Liz Kelly Nelson, and we're a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network.
You can listen to our show wherever you get podcasts. Tune in on Tuesday for a very special Christmas episode, our annual tradition.
We'll be featuring a conversation with the great Chili Gonzalez and breaking down the song Last Christmas by Wham!
Exclamation point.
We'll be concluding our year the following week when Nate will be back for good, which is great. Then we'll be taking a little short holiday break and back again in the new year. Can't wait to see you there.
And then until then, thanks for listening.